In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the first week of October, 445 years ago, a battle raged in the Mediterranean Sea for the entire future of Europe. Would Europe remain Christian in the 16th century, or would it fall to Islam? The Spanish fleets was the best answer to this, organized by St. Pope Pius V, one of the greatest popes we've ever had. But the main thing he did to support the fleet was he asked all of Europe to pray the rosary that week. People stayed up all night in churches, candles alit, praying for the salvation of Europe, praying that Europe would remain Christian and not Muslim. And Mary interceded for Europe. And God answered this prayer. And one of the most important naval defeats in all of history, perhaps the most important in the history of the world, happened this very first week of October, 445 years ago. And since then, or shortly after, the first Sunday of every October in the traditional Latin Mass calendar has been requested by popes and saints alike to be Our Lady of the Rosary in celebration of this great defeat and in a reminder of what hangs in the stakes for us in all the future generations. Is Europe anything like that now? I was texting a friend of mine who's one of the most highly trained special forces men in the United States. My fear of Islam, my fear of where our country was going, where the Christians in the Middle East were. And he texted me something actually really surprising. Quote, "I don't fear ISIS as much as the soulless humanists who rule our country and have a lock on the cultural conversation." I'm going to read that again. He texted me, "I don't fear ISIS as much as the soulless humanists who rule our country and have a lock on the cultural conversation." What he meant is that we're approaching this oligarchy under the real light veil of a liberal totalitarianism that's essentially leading to the protection not only of abortion that is killing so many children in this country, it's also leading to an anarchy. It was shortly after this text that I happened to watch some news from Southern California. And if maybe some of you saw this, it was in, I think, El Cajon, which I'm not sure if it's in San Diego or outside Los Angeles. But about 200 people beat up a man younger than me for having the hat of a presidential candidate that they did not like. And the only thing that people did, except for a couple people who kind of put their hands up a little bit, was videotape this and take pictures. This is the masculinity of our country now. Mob mentality for half, and a wimpy videotaping for the other half, while one man runs for his life in a country that proposes to allow a various subscription to beliefs, or at least political beliefs. Short-lived, my friends. Really short-lived. We're facing a new lawlessness. What is the best way to defend your family? Remember that weapons technology is so advanced now that even enemies beyond walls can be neutralized with no visual on them. But we also face invisible enemies. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, writes the Apostle Paul. And it was 1,200 years after the Apostle Paul wrote that I believe we were given the greatest weapon that we have besides the Holy Mass in all of Christendom to save our families, to protect our brains against the anarchy of relativism. It's the Holy Rosary. This is the armor of God. How powerful is this? St. Louis de Montfort tells us a story from the Middle Ages. It's kind of a long quote, but it's worth listening to. "Whatever you do, do not be like a certain pious but self-willed lady in Rome, so often referred to by speakers on the Rosary. She was so devout and fervent that she put to shame by her holy life even the strictest religious in the church. Having decided to ask St. Dominic's advice about her spiritual life, she made her confession to him. For penance, he gave her one rosary to say and advised her to say it every day. She excused herself, saying that she had her regular exercises, that she made the stations every day, that she wore sackcloth as well as a hair shirt, that she gave herself the discipline several times a week, that's when you whip yourself, that she often fasted and did other penances. St. Dominic urged her over and over again to take his advice and say the rosary, but she would not hear of it. She left the confessional, horrified at the new methods of this new spiritual director who had tried so hard to persuade her to take up a devotion for which she had no taste. Later on, when she was at prayer, she fell into ecstasy and had a vision of her soul appearing before the supreme judge. Saint Michael the Archangel put all her penances and prayers on one side of the scale, and all of her sins and imperfections on the other side of the scale. The tray of her good works was greatly outweighed by that of her sins and imperfections. Filled with alarm, she cried out for mercy, imploring the help of the Blessed Virgin, her gracious advocate, who took the one and only rosary she had said for her penance and dropped it on the tray of her good works. The one rosary was so heavy that it weighed more than all her sins as well as her good works. Our Lady then reproved her for having refused to follow the counsel of her servant, Dominic, and for not saying the rosary every day. As soon as the woman from Rome came to herself, she rushed and threw herself at the feet of St. Dominic and told him all that had happened, begging his forgiveness, and promised to say the rosary faithfully every day. By this means, she rose to Christian perfection and finally to the glory of everlasting life. This is rose number 26 in The Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort. Did you hear that, though? The woman didn't just avoid hell. She rose to Christian perfection with something as simple as the rosary. All weapons technology is based on self-preservation of one's community in the face of an enemy. The same thing with the rosary. It is not a preservation of the body, but of the soul. Yes, we do get our bodies back in heaven or hell, but we have the weapon to first get our souls to the place we want to get it to. It's not one decade a day. It's at least 5 decades a day if we're serious about staving off the enemies of our soul. Remember the anarchy that I described that we saw from El Cajon, California? This anarchy is entering our country. But you have to remember, for every political anarchy, it was always preceded by a spiritual anarchy, a rebellion of the heart. The fall of Turkey to Islam 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, whenever it happened, first meant the fire of Christianity had extinguished in the hearts of those in the Ottoman Empire. The French Revolution, when France quite nearly lost the faith. Yes, men came in and killed priests and nuns and stepped on the Eucharist in churches, and the state took over the churches, but that wouldn't have happened if there wasn't an anarchy of the heart first. The sexual revolution in the United States in the 1960s, that sexual revolution only happened first for the rebellion of the heart, an anarchy of the heart. And what is the next revolution that you're going to face? It's the genetic revolution. Someone told me this morning, actually, that in Mexico, they've now made a child with the DNA from 3 parents. A child has been created with the DNA of 3 parents. But this genetic revolution never would have happened without the rebellion of the heart, the revolution of relativism. You see, even you good Catholics, when you try to explain the faith, you're going to be told by people, "That's good, I'm glad that truth works for you." And you have to be loving, but say very directly to them, "Actually, no, you're talking about feelings. Because truth is only as good as the evidence that you have to present." Remember that phrase from this homily. When someone tells you whatever floats your boat, man, you have to say, "No, I'm sorry. Truth, your truth is only as good as you have. Sorry, your truth is only as good as the evidence you have to support it." Because this relativism has even affected our brains, even my brain. Relativism teaches that whatever is your feelings is your truth. No, feelings is one thing and truth is another. And we have the fullness of divine revelation in the Catholic faith, first from the scriptures and secondly from the magisterium. Our mind is protected to keep that with the chain of the rosary around it. With what we are facing, this new anarchy in this country, one decade a day, a couple Hail Marys a day, it just won't cut it. If you want the most advanced weapons technology for the enemy coming into your home now, it's the rosary. Because you know what? Praying those 5 decades a day, it's more important than who you vote for in this election. In fact, I might even go so far as to say, praying that 5 decades a day of the rosary is even more important than who is elected president in this country. I beg you to pray the rosary all 5 decades a day. Google the promises of Our Lady to Saint Dominic. On top of those, I want to just give you 7 things that St. Louis de Montfort says the rosary will do. 1, it gradually brings us to a perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ. I love that one, because when Protestants say, why do you spend so much time on the Holy Rosary? They wouldn't say holy. Why would you spend so much time on the rosary? Why does Mary get 50 and God the Father get 5? That seems like an unfair score. But who knew Jesus better than Mary? This is why even in the 18th century, St. Louis de Montfort knew that the goal of the rosary was to know Jesus Christ through and through. It gradually brings us a perfect knowledge of Jesus Christ, writes St. Louis de Montfort. 2, it purifies our souls from sin. Of course, he doesn't mean mortal sin can be relieved by a rosary. That's only confession. But it purifies us from the effects of that, as well as venial sin. 3, it gives us victory over all of our enemies. And that includes relativism. 4, it makes the practice of virtue easy. 5, it sets us on fire with the love of our Lord. 6, it enriches us with graces and merits. 7, it supplies us with what is needed to pay all our debts to God and to our fellow men. And finally, it obtains all kinds of graces from God. You know, the saints tell stories about sinners who should have not had a second chance, sinners who were dying in mortal sin. A couple saints even have private revelations of saints, of sinners who died in mortal sin and were given their lives back by these saints. Why? Because they had prayed the rosary. In fact, these stories, in fact, this reality is so real, it's even made its way into Christian art. If you go to the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, you can see The Last Judgment by Michelangelo. And you have to remember, heaven is breaking off from earth and earth is breaking off from hell. And all people are being sorted for their eternal judgment, their eternal destination. Jesus is in his Eucharistic glory in the host. There's the angels and the Blessed Mother surrounding heaven. Earth is breaking off from heaven. And everyone on earth is either going to end up in heaven or hell. Some people have already fallen into hell. You see the demons in all of their rage and hatred of humans. But there's 2 men who are condemned, falling into hell, right in the Sistine Chapel. 2 men falling into hell. And an angel is holding them by the beads of the Most Holy Rosary. Men that should have been condemned, but they prayed the rosary. Angels holding them from the fires of hell. Men who Michelangelo clearly implies will be saved. Close of the prayer from Pope St. Pius X. Most Holy Virgin, who pleased our Lord and became his mother, Virgin Immaculate, in your body and soul, in your body and soul, in your faith and love, at this solemn jubilee of the promulgation of the dogma which proclaimed you to the entire world as conceived without sin, look kindly on us unfortunate ones, who implore your powerful protection. The infernal serpent, upon whom the primeval curse was laid, continues, alas, to attack and tempt the hapless children of Eve. To you, our Blessed Mother, our Queen and Advocate, who at the first moment of your conception did crush the enemy's head, do you gather together our prayers, and we beseech you, our hearts one with yours, present them before God's throne, that we may never allow ourselves to be caught in the snares laid for us, but that we may reach the portal of salvation and that the church and Christian society may once more chant the hymn of deliverance, of victory, and of peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.